Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March, they never changed anything.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They want to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
already set.
The simple answer to a time.
It's already set.
Okay, let's do this. I'm ready.
Okay,
look. You can start, Charles.
I love black women.
My mother's black. My daughter's black, and my sister's black. I love black women. A lot of times, sort of my yours. I'm not out here telling brothers to go run and get themselves a white girl on the school.
I understand that.
I'm not a sellout.
But what's wrong with American black women is my question. Because, I mean, literally, the other night we were out and Jerome was with us, and a black guy was sitting beside us, and he was looking through his ear somewhere. He looked at us, saw that we were American, turned his back. Hold the
hair around. You've been doing that for a while.
I'm sure he has.
Why?
Let
me tell you why. A lot of brothers are frustrated. This movie, documentary, Frustrated Black Men in Brazil, a lot of us looking at that, brought it down. That's what started my movie. Okay? The thing about it is, I love black women. The problem is African American women have been feminized. Okay? They always say, I don't need a man. That's bullshit.
They do not always.
No. Keith, let him finish.
It's not you. You are probably a very small percentage of good black women that are left. My mother, my grandmother.
My
Okay, Keith, let him ask.
Okay, you've done answered your own question by even making that statement. I've seen all these recruited black American men. We're being chased out of our own country. Don't you see it? We're being forced right down here. Look, we are men.
You're right.
Shit.
No, you wouldn't find us.
You wouldn't find these guys, let me tell you something.
They can't even lead us the country.
That part.
Now, I've known professionals. Break it out. Let me tell you something. I know professionals, right? Professional women such as yourself. Walk right past another professional like him. Right?
Yep.
Oh, he's too nice. He's my brother. He's gay.
Yeah,
all this other stupid stuff,
so
brother.
It's like No.
Keith, let him finish.
I'm agreeing with you.
This man is every bit of man that you need, right? But you will walk right past and go with the dude with his pants hanging down, foot rest, with your
legs hanging over. Let's change our symmetry. They will walk right past. I'm not looking for a son, but you wanted to know. I'm saying change your pronouns. All I'm saying is change pronouns. Not you, they.
Don't take it personal if it's not you.
It's not you.
So don't take it personal.
You keep recording, Terrell.
You probably in the level of where my mother is, or what mother was, or my grandmother was. Okay, but you had an era of good black women.
Right,
that era was killed by welfare.
The era was killed by feminism.
That era died in the 70s.
My mother's 75.
My grandmother would have been in 85 today. Okay? The thing about it is, like, those women, those women's bodies, those women are gone and dying.
They fought by our side.
All right, welcome to a
haven't done one of these in over a year, or about a year, the Charles Tyler Show. And we're gonna do this one today, and then we're gonna do one next weekend when we have better technical support available. But today's topic, the Charles Tyler Show, and we're calling it the Charles Tyler Day.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Charles Tyler passed away just about
November 26th,
like 2 years ago. But anyway, we have on the line John Paul calling from the UK. So, John, how are you doing?
I'm okay, V. How are you doing, man?
Doing good, 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 good. Matter of fact, I was inspired to even come back with this, you know, just a once-a-year thing when I saw the post that you put up. I think it was on the anniversary of his passing.
November 26th.
Right, right. So I said, well, let's crank up a podcast. And then we had to coordinate the times because you're in the U.K. Then we had Kevin Waffle. He's out in California, so that's 3 hours behind me. Then you got people in they're listeners of Charles from all over the globe. So we want to arrange something. But right now for this weekend, we do have a couple of people that are listening at least. I don't know how many online. But share with us some of your thoughts on, you know, how did you get interested in the original group that Charles had on Facebook, which is still exists but it has a new name, Afro-American Women versus Afro-Brazilian Women. How did you get involved with the group, and what did you think about Charles's podcast or videos or anything like that?
I think for me, I might have come across Charles by watching one of his YouTube videos, and I think he invited me to the group from there. And then, you know, we got talking on Skype, and that became a regular thing. Because, you know, Charles on Skype, that brother would have, I mean, rest in power, Charles, man. He would have 3 to 4 people having one round table on Skype, you know, talking about different things for anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, depending on how much time he had or how much time we had at the time. So I came across him through YouTube, got invited into the group. He actually asked me to set up a UK chapter, but I declined. I knew I wouldn't have the time to handle that. But, yeah, it was through YouTube primarily.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, the time zone, because he usually came on at, like, 7 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday nights. I think we start off on a Tuesday. It still started off as a 30-minute podcast, but people couldn't get in. So
yeah,
then we extended it to – then we moved the time to it started at 6:30, then it went to 7 p.m., then it was our podcast, and we had to keep on extending it, so it ended up going like 2 hours. We even have a chat room at one time, so it was a lot of people. Now, have you ever had a chance to take it down to Brazil? Because he had a couple of, you know, a few beach parties.
I've been not to Brazil, man. I've been like Spain, Ghana, Frisco, Texas. Gosh, man, what's the other spot? Oh, yeah, Malta, Rhodes. Brazil's on the list, but.
Okay.
I haven't done that yet.
All right. Well, you've gotten around.
I'm scared. I want to go with things that are right. I'm scared I'm going to go there, like it so much, I ain't going to want to leave.
I've had those thoughts myself.
You know?
Yeah. There's some guys that have gone down to Brazil and they've liked the country, the culture, the everything, and. They've relocated. And some
yeah,
of that marriage
definitely.
And I believe when Charles May passed away, he had moved. He had relocated. I think he was already there for at least 30 days. So I think he had actually moved from Philadelphia to Brazil.
He'd moved and then decided to come back to the USA to get his money up and a couple of other things sorted out, I think family related. And then I think the idea was to go back and, you know, stay.
Okay, right. So, now, like I said, we're doing, there have been some technical changes since we've done, we used to do these every week with Charles, so we have to get, you know, backup systems. Now, there's a Skype caller on the line right now.
Well, I'm going to say a few things.
Let me see. Let me try to open up the line. Skype caller, are you there? Can you hear me? It could be just listening. Skype caller 111. That's what it pops up when it's a Skype caller. All right. Anybody who's in the studio, which we have.
I'll tell you what.
Press one.
Yeah, I'm gonna say a few kind words about Brother Charles Brown.
Yeah, sure. Please do.
Because anybody that's a part of the group, the Black Man's Option right now, maybe you've not been in it for more than a year, or you've come in the past 6 months or so. But when Charles set that group up, he was surprised when he got 500 members. And then it went to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I think by the time he passed, it was at 15,000 members. He had, you know, he wanted it to grow, but he didn't realize that it would grow that fast. And one thing that Charles has as a part of his legacy, he got so many brothers to get their passports and start thinking about what their options were outside of the Matrix USA or outside of the UK, not just in regards to women, although that was definitely part of it, but in just in terms of what it could do for your overall well-being and your psychological outlook. He was very inspirational in that regard, and a lot of brothers that have passports today just didn't have them before, you know? So he's definitely got to get his props on that. I mean, the brother is most definitely missed. Got to big up the current admin that's basically running the group now. Shout out to Alan Harper. I think Teddy Doyle's an admin. Shout out to Teddy Doyle. A particular shout out to those two for the role that they played in, you know, helping Charles's family to get his body back from Brazil and back to the USA. I mean, they really went above and beyond there, and, you know, they've got to be credited for that. Also want to shout out some of the original admin because, you know, this is not a diss on anybody, but Charles had an admin team, and after he passed, you know, some of those team members either left or were let go. So it's sad that they are no longer admins for the group. Charles definitely would have loved to have had those admins still as part of the group because they were people of which he was very fond. He loved Philly McFly Harris, shout out to him. I think Rod Owens and Kevin Teddy Waffle. These were people he was very fond of. You know, right now,
right.
It should be as it was in that respect. But that aside, I've got to give Alan Harper a shout out for letting the group keep going, for inspiring our brothers to travel, for putting together the travel packages. But if Alan wants to revert it back to how it was admin-wise, I know Charles will be ecstatic with that. But he's also got to be commended, as I said, for all of the positivity that has been promoted through the group since Charles passed. You know, because it's been a couple of years
right
now. So a lot of brothers have gone to Thailand, gone to Brazil, You know, that's to be commended as well. So the work is still going in the right direction.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you're right, a lot of groups have popped up on Facebook, you know, Asia, Africa, different parts of the world. And then you have YouTubers that were probably inspired by Charles.
No doubt.
There's a lot of information.
You know, V, when Charles was doing his thing, the whole right now you have a lot of YouTubers out there that they have that facility, you know, where you could do the donation. Is it when the show's on? You know, you like what they said, you could throw them $5 and all of that. I'm not sure if that was available at the time when Charles was doing his thing.
You know what? That was not it. Yeah, that's Super Chat on YouTube. Super Chat was not available during the run of the Charles Tyler Show. And we did that show for about 2.5, almost 3 years. It was not available at the time.
Exactly. So in a sense, what Charles did was provide a bedding that other people could bounce off. When Super Chat came, it made things easier for others than it would have been for Charles at the time. And I've got to also send a special shout-out to Al Greaves, because Charles told me many times Al Greaves, for him, was the inspiration behind putting the whole thing together. That documentary that Al did, Frustrated, is a classic, because there were so many brothers that were going through different things, but they felt like they were on their own. And when Al Greaves dropped that bomb, everybody started connecting. It's okay. They realized that other brothers were in similar situations or had a similar outlook. Maybe I'm not crazy. There is something going on. Damn, this matrix really is a matrix, you know? So Charles was like definitely inspired by Al Greaves to help put the group together.
Right, right. Well, John, I really appreciate you putting up the link at their anniversary of Charles's passing and coming on here today, because what we're going to do, this might be the first podcast of the Charles Tyler Show reboot, where we'll be having people from the community, because you got people from Asia, I mean, all over the place now, and a lot of things did jump off, you know, with Super Chats and all that since then.
Definitely.
So what I'll do is this, because I'm going to get a technical person in here, because due to just the time zones, I mean, you're 6 hours ahead of me. Kevin Waffle is like 3 hours, 3 hours ahead of me. Then you've got, I think, Teddy Doyle, he's still in Australia. That's about 12 hours ahead of me.
Big up to Teddy.
In Southeast Asia, that's maybe 13 hours ahead of me. So,
We're all global.
It was this week, I'll discuss with you and some other people. We might have to have on weekends or whatever day where we'll have two podcasts. Based on people's work scheduling and all that type of thing. Because if we ran this during the, the times that Charles used to run it, you know, that would be like, 9 o'clock, you know, 8 o'clock, no, 9 p.m. your time would be over like 1 p.m. there?
I think it used to be 9 p.m. in the U.S., and they're now tuning in at 2 a.m. over here.
Right, see. That's a lot to ask, but we have to be conscious of, since he's been gone, his audience has expanded.
Oh, his audience.
Want to tap in on that, so people won't be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning where people listen.
Not only has the audience expanded, but, you know, travel has become cheaper. People are more open to it now. You know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, maybe a brother might only look at the sister that's in his hometown or maybe just about out of state. But now, you got brothers that are maybe working 6 months in the U.S., spending 6 months in Colombia or 6 months in DR. Even though Charles was always about Brazil, he always emphasized you've got to find your own personal spot that works for you. He likes BR, but he also recognized that somebody else might like the Dominican Republic, and that somebody else might like Colombia, and so on, you know. And just looking back on it, as regards to all of this, previously to Charles, you only really had Tariq Nasheed. He was doing his thing for a while. Tariq Nasheed's been doing his thing for a long while, in fact. Doesn't really get his props for, you know, because he was doing, he did a Brazil video way back in the day. Way back in the day. He does his thing, even now. And then the other brother, Jabril, from Passport Heavy, he's been traveling around the world for a long time. You know, the quote-unquote manosphere basically exploded, like, I'd say a few months after Charles passed, man. It really started to explode, and it's a good thing, man, because
well,
brothers are chopping it up with each other.
Videos from a guy in Vietnam, a black dude, he was over in Vietnam, and there's a number of us over in Russia, Ukraine, different parts of Africa, different parts of, we're everywhere now. So like you said, by you posting that link on Thanksgiving weekend, our Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States, I think, well, we can sort of call that the start or the reboot of the Charles Tyler Show. So what I'll be back in touch with you, no doubt about it. And then, because you're calling in, like, say, it's after 6 p.m. where you are right now in London. And get together with you and some other people, Kevin, and I'll be calling now. Matter of fact, if anybody who's, we got a few people on the line, press 1 if you want to participate. Just press 1 and I can open up your mic. But so we, because they, you're right, that market is out there. The, and we need to, like I said, it's more affordable now to travel. Matter of fact, speaking of Brazil, when Charles alive, a visa to go to Brazil, if you had an American, you know, U.S. passport. Now, if you have a U.S. passport, I don't know how what it is for the U.K., but now for the U.S., you do not need a visa to go to Brazil.
That's big.
So we want to keep a lot of news and information through this. So thank you so much, John Paul, for, you know, remembering Charles on his second anniversary.
Yeah, it had to be done, V. There was no way I could have let that slide. I mean, I put that up, and before you know it, like 500 brothers plus had liked it. And, you know, some cats were just saying, rest in peace. Others were saying, Charles was a great dude, always had time to talk. Somebody else is saying, he's the reason I got my first passport. Somebody else said he, you know, he was an inspiration. You know, he had his inspirations as well. You know, shout out to John Thompson and Al Greaves, like I'd already said. But, yeah, it had to be done. Every November 26th, Charles Tyler Day. Great brother, man. In his time, he did a lot. You know, he left a legacy. Most people are going to be forgotten.
Oh, he sure did. I mean, he was. We only did maybe at best 3 years.
Yeah.
Of a podcast. That's about it.
Yeah. The podcast and the group. Man.
But like I said, a lot of groups. I mean, there have been black men going to Mexico. DR. It's countless countries.
So
let's call it, and we're going to keep it the same, the Charles Tyler Show.
No doubt.
We're not changing that.
No.
All right, well, John, look.
I think he would have definitely approved of the new name of the group, the Black Man's Option, because that's what something he was always talking about. So I know he would have had no problem with that.
Right. Well,
anybody listening, hit up Al Harper for well, actually, you can't. I think, Alan's, from what I saw, you've got to earn your Black Man Options hat. So you've got to go to VR, I think, with one of the deals, and then you get the hat. You can't buy that one. But he should have some other, you know, merchandise that you can, you know, get a hold of. So get a hold of Alan Harper for any, you know, T-shirts, hats, and the other. But you've got to earn the one with the logo. You can't just buy that.
Right. Well, the black man's option, well, they've got a black man options, the original group, that's got over 17,000 members, and I guess counting. And then you have a black man's option 2.0. Then there might be another black man's option group there. Then there's at least two Asian, black men and Asian that like Asia. There's a group, at least two groups that I know of for that, if not three.
Word, definitely.
And then we're all over the place. So
Alex,
I'm going to get together with you and a couple other people, and we're going to work on having two Charles Tyler podcasts per week. We're going to work out the days that are convenient, primarily for the hosts. Like what I want to do basically is, like when Charles was here, is just introduce people like yourself and then let the show, you know, guide itself. So that, for me, it was easy. I just introduced Charles, he take over, and then the people from the community sharing where they have traveled. You know, that was the show. So people would share their vacation experiences, and that was education.
Yeah.
And now you got some people who speak two or three languages that they didn't speak before.
Yeah, people are learning their Portuguese now.
Their Portuguese and other languages besides that. So, all right, well, John, what we're going to do is we're going to cut it. We're going to end for today.
Okay.
But we'll be back next week, and let's say, is this a good time for you? Because I got
a
check person.
This is not a bad time for me. But I want to say real quick, V. One of the reasons that, you know, even though I ain't been, one of the reasons that cats that are going to BR need to learn Portuguese, something Charles was always saying, if you just speak English, you're going to be limited basically to talking to the ladies in Rio. They might know some English. But all of the ones
right.
that might be of a higher caliber, they're probably only speaking Portuguese. So you might want to learn the language just for that reason, just to expand your options even further. Because that cat that knows his Portuguese could approach any sister that he sees out there.
That's true. That's true. And if you go to other parts of South America, any or Spanish-speaking country, I mean, Brazil is Portuguese. But, yeah, it helps to learn the language. So, yeah, we're going to cover, we'll get into health tips, because one of the things that we never discussed, Charles never discussed while he was alive, was health. So we want to talk about, you know, before you travel long distance, go on one of them long-haul flights, you need to hopefully be in decent shape.
So you got to cover your bases as best you can, you know.
Right. All right. Well, I tell you what, I'll be back in touch with you this week. Contact me anytime. But we're going to do two Charles Tyler shows per week, and that's really to accommodate as many people as possible, because, like we both agreed, his audience has expanded. So we're trying to get as many people in on the live stream. So this is the first Charles Tyler live stream. So we're going to keep the show the same name, the Charles Tyler Show.
Man. V, good talking to you, man.
Right. So, all right. Well, look, thanks, John. Thanks for people that are holding. We got a caller that put up his hand. Let's take this before we shut down. Yes,
okay.
Your mic is open. Skype call. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, your mic is open.
Could hear you both speak.
Hello? Your mic is open. All right, hello. All right. His hand went up. Okay, Skype caller. All right, here I'm going to make a suggestion. Hang up and call right back, because sometimes it's just a minor.
Yeah, let him do that. We could guess for a couple of minutes while we wait for the brother to call back.
We're going to have two lines that people can call in.
Everyone else can listen to the playback.
That way it'll be half for free. All right, Skype caller, can you hear? All right, he hung up. Let's see if he calls right back.
While he's doing that, I'm going to send a shout out to some of the brothers that have been a part of the movement from way
sure.
back that, you know, keep things going. Again, Kevin Teddy, Rod Owens, Philly McFly, Al Harper, Al Grease, you know, is it Big Ron?
Right,
yeah, that's Big Ron.
Okay, hold on. Skype caller, call back. Okay, Skype caller, your mic is open.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
How you guys doing?
Fine.
All good, bro. How are you?
I'm straight. I'm chilling. Just on my way to work and stuff. So what's good?
Well,
yeah, we just hosted
what's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Dallas.
Okay.
Oh, Dallas, Texas. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, let me ask you gentlemen some questions. Like, question
ahead,
number
man.
One. Do y'all go anywhere else besides Brazil, the DR, and Colombia?
The shows, I mean, the group that was put together was basically really about BR, but, let's say Brazil. But brothers that were, you know, it's not for everybody, apparently. So for cats that were finding it more enjoyable to go to DR, you know, it's about going wherever you want to go, but get your passport and see more, be more, you know, type of thing. So it's not exclusive to one location, but Brazil was the main focus of the group because that's what that's the place Charles loved to go. I think he went like 26 times.
Yeah, and then he eventually relocated there. That's where he passed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for me, I've been to UK, Denmark, France, Germany, Austria, Italy, Mexico, China, and the Philippines.
Okay.
So
well, that's quite a list.
How did you like Italy, and what country in the UK did you go to? So it's four countries in the UK.
It was England. England.
And what did you think about
Italy?
Did you think about coming to the UK, bro?
Italy, I liked I liked Northern Italy the best. But, because that's right after you come, we were driving, coming out of Austria, because I'm in the nature, you know, mountains. I mean, some of the streams there, you can it's just blue. Pick up a glass
wow.
of water and just drink it right out of the stream. Venice is a good place to take a date. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I've never been to Venice. I've only been to Milan, Turin, Rome, and Naples.
Ooh.
Now,
well, you've been some places, man. Some brothers ain't been past their block, you know?
It's built on the, it's a sea there. I forgot to do it. It's the main sea there, up in the upper part. I haven't been to Rome any place like this. I like the little places in the villages myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want to explore those. I want to go further south. But to answer your question, I've been to London twice because I'm a Chelsea supporter. So I've been out there for some games.
I'm a Man United supporter, but I'll shout you out, man, because my old man, he lives in Texas. He lives in Pearland, Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been living there since about 1990. I've been out there a few times. I like it a bit. Texas is okay.
Yeah, Texas is a lot better than most people give it credit for. Being all over the states and everything, I always want to leave, but always end up coming back as
okay.
far as domestically. Internationally, like I said, I've been to England and Italy. I've also been to Spain, Australia, Czech Republic, Greece. Mexico and Argentina. Been out there about three times.
I've got to give you an extra shout out because, unless I'm mistaken, being from Texas, you gave us Beyonce too, right?
I gave you what?
Beyonce. You gave us Beyonce.
Yeah, she's from Houston, H-Town.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a place in the UK though. I haven't been there yet, but it's on my list in the UK. In England. God. They filmed the show Cornwall.
Okay.
Doc Martin.
That's what you're listening.
And I just feel like I'm a nature freak. So I'm looking at I need to get over the corner. But
Africa would be top of my choice, to be honest.
Huh?
For me, Africa's at the top of my list.
Mine is Brazil because of my coworkers.
Okay.
Well, because I have a lot of coworkers from Brazil, and I have about close to 10 books on Portuguese now. Trying to learn that. I know a little bit of Spanish, even less French because I took that back in high school. And I'm thinking Sao Paulo might be my first stop.
Apparently, Sao Paulo is the area in Brazil where you're going to find a high concentration of, brothers and sisters of the chocolate variety. Apparently.
Yeah. I got a chat buddy. She lives in Sao Paulo. Okay. Well. Well, any other comments either you guys got to make? Because what I'm going to do, like I said, John, I'll be contacting you. And we'll probably have these two of these a week. Probably, I guess, on the weekend. At least one on a weekend and one during the weekday. Depends on what people say. And,
unless I missed it. What's the brother, what's your name, man? Brother in Texas.
Charles.
Okay, you're Charles, too. Okay. The Charles Cooley to the Charles Tyler show. That's what's up.
Okay. All right.
But have either one of you ever been to Sao Paulo or like any of the southern, like Belo Horizonte or.
Are you part of the group?
I'm part of the Frustrated Al Grease group.
Okay.
There's the Black Man Options group with the 70,000 members. Are you part of that?
I was.
Yeah, you need to get yourself get an invite or request to join, because that question you're asking right there, there's a lot of cats in that group that could answer you down to the finest detail. There's a lot of them have been out there.
Alright.
I might have to do that.
Yeah, that's why Charles gave us a sandwich, man. The show was the left hand and the group was the right. Whatever you can't find in one, you probably find in the other.
Right. And what part of England are you from?
I'm in London, right here. South London.
I love London. I haven't been to South London, just I've been over by Camden, and I have been close to the River Thames last time I was there.
Yeah,
I was about 2 miles away from Stamford Bridge.
Camden is gentrified now, but it's still Camden. It's still got a nice vibe, but it's gentrified. As far as the London report is concerned, it's okay. A lot of areas are being gentrified, probably the same as what's going on in New York. With people saying that places like Brooklyn are not quite Brooklyn anymore. It's the same thing here with places like Brixton not being, Brixton anymore. Just 2 nights ago, we had 4 murders in one night.
Damn. What about Bethnal Green?
I was in Bethnal Green yesterday. I had to go see somebody about something. I went up there. Yeah, Bethnal Green, East London, next to Hackney.
Yeah, because I was there. I had on my first trip, I went to this Italian coffee shop called Quattro Cinque and Ippolitici's for a fry up. to go there, so.
Oh, you did the London thing. Anybody listening to this playback, I will say as a London resident, if you're coming here, come with some good money in your pocket, have a good time for about a month, but then find somewhere else. It's a good place, but it's not outside of the Matrix. So you're coming from, if you're coming from the States, you're coming from one part of the Matrix to another. With the so-called third world, that's when you get an outer Matrix experience.
Right, I understand that, but from my perspective, I really loved London. I really did. Because for me, it was different than what I was experiencing back home in the States. So
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of people from London come over here, they get married, they get jobs, whatever. You got a lot of people, you know, going over there and doing the same. Like I got a buddy, he just stays in London. Like I don't know what he does for a living, but every time I look up, he's in London at the bridge.
Okay. Okay. He loves it, man. I mean, wherever you grew up at, you know, other places are always going to look a bit more intriguing. We naturally want to see new places. So if you have never lived in London, you come, yeah, you will love it. Especially if your money is right.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Especially if your money is right, man.
Because the pound to dollar ratio, I mean, it's gotten a lot better, but it's still not great, you know. But compared to 2007, it's a lot better.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I can remember when the pound
US to a dollar,
was $2.
Yeah, $2 to a pound nearly.
Yes, exactly. You know, there was a time when it was £1 to $2. You know,
yeah,
it's a long time ago, but it used to be £1 to $2. Now, that, as you said, that's definitely changed. But the advantage is, if you're here like I am and you're going somewhere in the so-called third world, whether it's Ghana, Nigeria, Brazil, Colombia, when you change that pound into the currency of those countries, you do pretty well. So for all of the cats that are listening to this playback from the UK, that's something to bear in mind.
Yeah, because when I was at Buenos Aires, you're right, I felt like a king because I kept going to this one steakhouse every single day because my bill was about less than $50. I was getting some of the best steak I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh,
some
wow.
Good wines. Yeah.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, because...
You be getting it in on the road.
Yeah. But I can't wait till next year.
You know, again, for anybody listening to the playback, this year, if you look in the group, if you're part of the group, Alan Harper and Al Grease are doing trips to there's another one to Thailand, and there's one in Colombia, and there's the Charles Tyler beach party later on in the year. You'd have to go into the group to find the dates. I think, spots are filling up now, so if you're wanting to travel as part of a group, and you are a part of the Charles Tyler Black Man Options Group, currently headed by Alan Harper, then, yeah, look in there to get those dates if you want to travel as part of a group.
Yeah, okay. I might talk to Al Grease about that, because I know he's doing one as well. So I know he's a good dude, and that documentary. I showed this one girl back home, you know, because she was talking about how women are dependent on all this other stuff and how all this stuff. I'm like, this is why it's hard for y'all to get dates. And I showed her the video, and she's like, oh, I understand now.
Yeah, it's, Al Grease, what he did with that was a bombshell. A lot of brothers were feeling what he was talking about, but nobody had voiced it openly. Or he did a documentary on it, and that thing... I know Al got some sales on it, but I think there was a lot of bootleg stuff going on as well. So I doubt Al got from that what he should have. But what he definitely did do was make a great name for himself because everybody could relate to the content.
What he did not get in money, he got in everything else, literally. Because
Definitely.
I know he not just, you know, our lives, but I know a lot of my friends' lives too. And since I work at the airport, you know, we got a lot of travelers and we travel ourselves. it's like, how can I put it this way? It's like you injected like some heroin into everyone and we're all addicted now.
Yeah.
We can't stop thinking about traveling. We can't stop thinking about, you know, our next destination. What do we need to do to get there? What do we want to do when we're there? Things like that. Like, we can't stop thinking about it. Like, and
you're so right, man. Friends, you're so right.
And amongst my friends, I'm known as the world traveler, and that makes me, you don't know how happy that makes me, you know? Like, yeah, it puts a smile on my face because I see a lot of my peers married, divorced, kids, child support, all that stuff that I know a lot of cats are trying to avoid, you know, they're stuck in that trap, you know, so I don't know if they're calling it that, you know, term of endearment or what, you know, like, but you're the world traveler, like, where are you at now? Oh, we're planning a party, so if you're in town, let us know. I was like, yeah.
I mean, that was the whole, that's one of the reasons behind the traveling. If you're in a Western country and you're thinking about, you know, having a child or getting married, the odds, for the most part, are stacked against you if it doesn't work out. They're going to side with, you know, the woman in the, with most divorce cases, and there's the whole child support thing, which Al Greaves also touched on in Frustrated Part 2, the movie. He did Part 2, and that was largely based around that, and it affects not just brothers, but men of all races.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think someone posted up a story about some dude paying child support for 8 years, and turns out it wasn't his kid, but he still had to continue to pay because they considered him like a legal guardian or something.
Yep, that
happens. I'm sitting there thinking, why can't you get those rights terminated and like get some sort of retribution for that, some sort of recompense, because that's 8 years of salary, that's 8 years of payments you need coming back to you. You need to get that back so you can go travel and live your best life.
You know, imagine the psychological impact of that.
Oh, I'd be pissed, but at the same time, like, I know I'm expecting one big paycheck, so let's go.
I hear you. You know, yeah, so, like you said, heroin in the arm is what Al Greaves did with that film, and a lot of brothers have, you know, put themselves in better positions, man. You know, shout out again to Philly McFly, who moved to Brazil. You know, I think he got married down there.
Yeah, he did.
Working for a lot of brothers, man.
Yeah. Well, we're going to tap into them. And, and some others. So, you know, John, you picked a... We're going to stick with this time, and then we're going to pick up a PM, a later version, and probably keep everything for one day. So everything, if you missed it, the afternoon, you can catch us on the PM starting next week for this. But yeah, I'll be, you know, let's stay in touch on that, John. This one went, like I said, I hadn't done anything in about a year. So,
yeah.
Apparently the people are still interested, you know, and everything. So, Charles, Alex.
I know my boy Javon will be happy to hear this playback.
Yeah. And then we just got to link it into the archives, because he left Charles up about 100 podcasts on Blog Talk, and then he's got his YouTube channel, which is still up. So, on that note, look, thank you, Charles, for calling. Thank you, John Paul. We'll be back next weekend for another installment of the Charles Tyler Show.